We have completed 5 chapters of the course on microfinance. We started with the term financial inclusion, then we went to the details for the 2 major models, that is the self-help groups, their linkage with the banking system. We also have more coverage of the National Rural Livelihood Mission in chapter 3. In 4th chapter, we went for that second model where we promote the joint liability groups and link them with the banking system, you know. Then we went something, you know, beyond that, and we thought the microfinance institutions and their linkage with the banking system or their linkage with the financial system, where I made a distinction between the banks and the financial institutions, which covers the institutions like NABARD or CDB. Now, in all these 5 chapters, I made one common thread was there that I've said that we have to use the technology in purveying microfinance so that the cost of operations are reduced, so that we are able to cover more of clients, you know. So the selection of clients, maybe the processing of applications of the clients, the monitoring of the clients, maybe the collection process, where we have to use the technology. Now, I also made certain statements in between that the cost of technology in the initial stage is high. So can we think of more collaborative attempts between the fintechs, between the payment banks and the MFIs? All these things we discussed. Now we are going to see a little more on use of technology in the sector, you know. Let us see what we are going to cover this. But the focus is on all technology, use of technology in purveying the microfinance. As far as the contents are covered, in the sense what we are going to address in chapter, basically we will look into some kind of use of technology in the process of promoting financial inclusion. Can I use the artificial intelligence in the whole process of financial inclusion? Can I use the technology which is already being used in the banking system, maybe through the ATMs, maybe through mobile banking, through net banking, RTGS? All these are the use of technology in the banking system, which is promoting the microfinance, which is promoting the financial inclusion. What is the role of the Reserve Bank of India in the whole process of promoting technology? That also we shall cover. We shall look to more of a digital financial services. Basically, it is on the pyramid that it calls for a digital literacy. Now here the issue will be, who is going to finance for digital literacy? Can the MFIs incur the cost for digital literacy? Because it is ultimately in the interest of the institution this is going to happen. Can I have the different digital platforms? What is the comparative analysis? P2P lending, I covered a lot in the earlier chapter. Here I'm going to address few issues, you know, which is relating to technology. Let us see, can we address that? Can we have a digital stream of SAG where I promote the eShakti project of NABARD? Now, eShakti project has been ensured to see that the bookkeeping records of the SAGs, they get kind of digitalized, they come the use of technology, and ultimately we shall also see the use of technology by the microfinance institutions, MFIs. This is what we are going to cover. Slowly we will go into the details of it. Basically, when I talk of use of technology, what do I understand? The emergence of technology and the rising microfinance clients' expectations. This has reshaped the whole financial inclusion business, actually. Two things: emergence of technology and the rising expectations of the clients. This has reshaped the whole sector, actually. Now, how that happens, you know, these technology innovations, they have helped, maybe in the form of a cell phone or maybe in the form of a information technology. The services are becoming more cheaper, in the sense the cost of serving the clients is going down. This is becoming, technology is becoming a kind of viable solution for promotion of financial inclusion. Because I said right from the beginning, my cost of operations is reducing with the use of technology. That makes me viable, that makes me competitive in the era. And in the era of competition, cost reduction is important. The use of technology, how it helps me, no? 3-4 mechanisms we can see quickly, no? First, it helps me to minimize the cost of setting the physical bank network. Each branch, when I open physical branch, my cost is there in terms of the fixed cost, in terms of the manpower, in terms of the cost of personnel is there. Can I reduce it? Yes, it's possible. Now you will see how we do it, you know. Can I increase the efficiency of my operations, you know? Can I increase the willingness of the people to use the internet services, you know? Because unless the people are willing, you cannot put the technology into the kind of area for serving the clients, you know. Several technology applications are available, right? You know, you get a small SMS from the banking system. This is also a part of technology adoption and serving the clients actually. Maybe if you deposit the money, you get an SMS. If you withdraw or if you transfer the money to somebody, immediately you get a through SMS. This kind of SMS helps me to get in touch between the banks and the clients, you know. That's how it works actually. Artificial intelligence is being talked a lot. Let me invest a little time on that. Artificial intelligence, it's basically a display. It displays the intelligence which is displayed by the machines as opposed to the human intelligence. You know. It basically what it tries, it simulates the human intelligence, you know, through what? Through machines, especially the computer systems. So I simulate the human intelligence through use of machines and through use of computer systems, you know. What it helps? AI helps me, as usual expected. It helps me to increase the efficiency. It helps me to reduce the cost. It helps me to reduce even the frauds in the banking system. It saves time. It increases the security. It increases the reliability. And this is in comparison to what? Compared to the jobs which are done manually, you know. So it's a very powerful data tool which helps me to transfer the data into action and knowledge, you know. So this is where the role of artificial intelligence comes, and this is going to help me to serve my clients in a cost-effective manner. Let me look to some of the use in the technology, you know. Substantial portion of the microfinance, maybe I put a figure of 40% is served through the banks, and therefore the use of technology in the banks is interesting to study actually. We must focus on banks because 40% of the microfinance sector comes from the banking stream, you know. So therefore they cannot be ignored, you know. Use of IT is very important for what? For existence of the banking system, for existence of the financial institutions, and for growth of the banking systems. You know. Technology has to be used, you know. It helps me, I explained to you earlier also, a few moments back, that it helps me to reduce my cost of operations. It helps me to be competitive in the market, you know. In the era of competition, your cost has to be reduced, you know. Of serving the clients, the cost of operations have to go down if I have to survive and if I have to grow, you know. Please remember that last bullet of this slide. This you must keep at mind, that I have to remain competitive. The era is of competition. If I have to remain competitive, I have to constantly upgrade my technology. You know, I have to constantly upgrade my technology. I have to invest in upgradation of my technology so that I am able to offer my services at a competitive rate to the clients. You know, it's very important to remember this point. You know, upgradation of technology on a regular basis has to be done by the institutions. You know, what is the role of Reserve Bank? You know, what did it play? It played a very important role. You know, let us start with few bullets. I have put it. RBI started with the CBS. In the sense, it's a core banking solution. It prompted the banks to go for the core banking solution so that people can operate the account anywhere. You know, they can withdraw the money, they can deposit. Because the CBS was brought into picture, the branches were connected through the mechanism of CBS, core banking solution. The second mechanism came something like ATM, you know, automated teller machines came into picture. The Reserve Bank promoted even the use of specialized checks. For what? For faster clearing, you know. Faster clearing, or it increases the payment efficiency of the banking system. This is how the technology has been used, has been promoted by Reserve Bank of India, you know. It's, as I said, the digitalization helps me in two ways. One is the cost, second is the time, you know. Cost and time is saved for not only for banks, but also for the customers. This is very important, you know. The digitalization process has helped me to increase my payment efficiency. Over a period of time, the payment efficiency has improved because of use of technology in the banks, which were encouraged by Reserve Bank of India through these kind of mechanisms, which we have listed above, you know. The guidelines on P2P lending, because I said that P2P is basically a digital platform. It's a digital platform which is used for linking the borrowers and the lenders. Please remember, this is possible because it again uses a technology. This is kind of, you know, I wanted to share with you that MFIs with technology, they are transforming themselves into P2P players. This is where the link is coming between the NBFC and the P2P. You know, you must be wondering, why did we spend so many minutes with P2P? Because there is a kind of, you know, emergence that some of the NBFCs may get transformed into P2P player. Of course, with registration with the Reserve Bank of India. The registration with RBI is mandatory for getting into P2P play. FairSend was the first P2P lending platform which received a certification of registration as NBFC P2P from Reserve Bank. This is very important. This was the first institution which came up. I thought I must share with you so that you get that there is a chance that other NBFCs may follow the route. Yeah. Digitalization helps me in what? Without loss of time and paperwork gets reduced, actually. Very simple mechanisms, you know. So it helps the clients, it helps the banks to reduce the cost, to reduce the time, to improve the kind of efficiency of the organization, to improve my competitiveness. The moment I reduce my cost, I become more competitive in the market to serve my clients in a better way. First ATM, if I understand correctly, in 1987, HSBC was the first bank which brought the ATM into picture, you know. ATMs are what? These are only conceptual clarity I thought I must share with you so that you don't ponder on what is this concept, you know. Of course, we hear these words. Basically, this was a computerized telecommunication device, you know. They provide me the financial transactions in a public place without a need of a cashier. That is very important, you know. I can do the transactions in a public without a presence of cashier or a human clerk, what we required, you know. So that is something very important we must understand is ATM. 1996, I came with internet banking. This was provided to access the accounts, to enable the customers to access their accounts and undertake the transactions through the net, you know. Through internet, they can undertake the transactions, you know. Look, this is basically, maybe I'm just putting a milestones, you know. 2004, the RTGS came. Real-time gross settlement. Basically, this is mean for the high-value transactions. So that real-time, there is a kind of transfer of payments which takes place, you know. NEFT was parallel to it in 2005, it came up. Basically, it happens in a batches, you know, but uses a net mode also. Fund gets transferred from one account of any bank to another account of any other bank, you know. This happens only because the banks are using the technology, you know. Or they have used it and they're using it. If the technology use was not there, this would not have been possible to ensure the efficiency in payments, in transfer of funds from one account to the another account. This is one more concept I thought. The picture which you saw on the very first slide of this, you know, where we showed you a lady was carrying a laptop on her shoulder and she was acting as a business correspondent around. Once she does it, what she or the bank business correspondent to do it, they act as the agents of the banks actually. They perform the functions which are undertaken by the bank. Please remember, they are the agents of the bank. So they whatever happens to the BCs, that affects the image of the bank actually. So we have to be very careful when we select the BCs, you know. That is what I wanted to highlight here. Many of the MFIs, I told you, NBFC MFIs are going for the BC route. Because they are sorted out of the problem of accessing funds. Accessing funds, especially of a long duration funds from the banks or from the financial system is a problem. And the NBFC MFIs are preferring now to play a role of BC to overcome the problem of funds, especially of the long-term funds. That's what, you know, choice is coming up for the NBFC MFIs. 2008, we had a mobile banking. It's very simple that we undertake the transactions on mobile or through mobile. That's what it means, you know. 2009, we came with the prepaid instruments. 2000, we got IMPS, you know, through which we can transfer instant bank transfers. Electronic fund transfer takes place. These are based on the instructions are issued over phone, actually. Through mobile phones, we issue the instructions. The instructions get grounded. The transfers of payments take place through this. This is over a period of time, whole digitalization, the sector is getting digitalized, you know. The benefits flow to all, including the clients of microfinance. 2012, we had a white label ATMs which offer a non-bank entities, the kind of, you know, they recognize the investments in ATM can be used for delivery of the wide range of services to the customer. This was basically to provide the services to the customers. You know, 2014, we came with the Bharat payment system. 2015, the RBI in principle accorded approval for what? Accorded approval for the payment banks. You know, payment banks, I told you, Indian Postal Bank is a payment bank which doesn't give credit but accept the deposits, go for the transfer payments, goes for some kind of remittances can be handled, maybe some insurance products can be issued or can be sold through these kind of banks, you know. These initiatives are aimed at what? Aimed at increasing the outreach. That's what we discussed, you know, credit widening, you know, as well as deepening is possible through these kind of, you know, digital platforms. The kind of, you know, 2016, the direct benefit transfer came into picture, you know, where the, just for an example, the fertilizer subsidy is directly getting into the credit of a fertilizer company on the basis of the sales which are made by the retailers. This happens because of these retailers of the fertilizer, they have a, some kind of device, sale, you know, they have a point of sale, what we call POS, you know, POS. Through POS, the transactions take place, the instructions take place, and the beneficiary is identified through Aadhaar, voter card. These kind of mechanisms are used to ensure that the fellow who is taking a fertilizer and who is getting an advantage of the subsidy, he is a genuine one, you know. And that identification happens through an Aadhaar card or a voter card, you know. This is how the technology has come into picture, because the verification is done through Aadhaar, voter card, and there is a POS, you know, POS, you know, that helps them to identify and verify the details of the clients actually and see that the transactions are completed at on real time. That's what it happens actually. Look to these kind of projects, you know, to e-Shakti. Basically, this is nothing but something like a digitalization of the SAG records, you know. It has received a wide appreciation in the international forum also, you know. It has won some kind of award, international award, which I named there. But what I'm trying to give you a hint here is the technology has helped the microfinance clients also. That is what I wanted to share with you. These are the kind of e-Shakti projects, you know. It has received even, you know, the BRICS, you know. They have acknowledged as one of the interventions of India towards digital financial inclusion. This is very important. This was recognized by the BRICS actually. That is one of the important initiatives by the government of India towards the digitalization of the financial inclusion process, which we started in 2006, you know. So this is a kind of expediting the whole process, you know. That's what is there, you know. The Reserve Bank of India, you know, very recent one, this is just to give you a hint, you know. There is nothing much I'm going to cover or I'm going to talk on the CBDC, that is the central bank digital currency, you know. This is the electronic form of central bank. This is the money that the citizen can use to make the digital payments and store value as well. Both storing value and making digital payments, both are possible through CBDC, you know. This is basically digital currency which is issued by a central bank. This is, I just wanted to share with you, large international settlement reports are indicating that 80% of the central banks in the world, I'm talking, are researching on CBDC, central bank digital currency. A lot of investment is happening on CBDC. It has some advantages. Let us see on that where we have that. This is basically the crypto was there, but they were having very high volatility. You know, there was a lack of government backing. CBDC has a government backing. That is what you should get into it. You know, crypto didn't have the backing. You know, the CBDC is issued by the central bank. This is what I said. You know, this is basically three important elements. You know, one, it's a digital currency issued by the central bank. It is universally accessible. This is very important. You know. One, digital currency issued by central bank backing is there. Third, universally accessible. Now, both the physical cash and CBDC are legally acknowledged as a form of payment. That is what it happens. You know, I can do physically, I can use the CBDC also. So both options are there, you know, which is happening as per the CBDC. Please remember crypto and CBDC. The crypto, I didn't have the backing of the central bank here. The CBDC gives me a backing of the central bank, which allows me to store the value. It allows me to make the transfer of payments. I can undertake the transactions. You know. This is what we discussed, you know. CBDC, the elements we have discussed, I just wanted to reiterate these points. You know, these are digital currencies, these are issued by central bank, these are universally accessible. This is a repetition, I know it. But just to say that CBDC has certain advantages, we must note it. This is a new concept which is there, you know. This is what is happening, you know. Towards the kind of, you know, computerization, even the small institutions in the villages, they are getting computerized. PSCS means Primary Agricultural Credit Society. This is a village level institution that deals with rural residents. These institutions are outside the purview of the Banking Regulation Act. They are not regulated by Reserve Bank of India, please remember. But then you will be asking me, what for you are giving us all these inputs? You know, the inputs are required because these institutions go for a credit plus approach. Let me invest a minute on this. Credit plus, in the sense, they give credit. They enable you to get even fertilizers. You know? They enable you to get even pesticides. They enable you to get the seeds in the village itself. They help you even marketing the agriculture produce. The banking system cannot undertake the trading activities, but the PSCS or Primary Agriculture Credit Societies enable you to get access to the inputs. They get you the output which can be marketed through the PACs. Now, this is the kind of data which is saying we have about 95,000 plus PACs in this country, you know. These are spread over 6 lakh villages of this country, you know. The very important point we have to remember that this is, again, as I said, the spatial distribution is a little problematic, you know. Northeast, I have a lesser coverage of the PACs, you know. Northeast, especially, the coverage of the PACs is a little less, you know. This movement is there since 1904. Please remember, the first Primary Agriculture Credit Society was promoted in 1904. The movement has carried forward. Frederick Nicholas was a fellow who started the movement in this country. This is just for information, but remember, the movement has completed more than 100 years. These institutions have survived for more than 100 years. There is a view that at the moment, I have about a lakh of, I put 95,000 to about a lakh of cooperatives in this country. There is a view that another 2 lakhs of PACs are going to be added in the next 5 years to come. So these institutions, they help me to go for the PACs, they help me to go for the credit widening, deepening, then input supplies. These institutions are important for one more reason, that these are the large number of small and marginal farmers are the members of these institutions. So anything we do with the PACs, Primary Agriculture Credit Societies, I deal with a large number of marginal and small farmers. You know. So equity consideration, equity, I'm talking about equity in the society. If I talk the equity of the society, these are the institutions which help me to serve those people who are relatively poor, who are relatively neglected in the development process. These are currently, you know, this is just a statistics for information. They deal with 3 crore KCCs, Kisan Credit Card, which is about 41% of the total KCCs in the country. In the sense, about 7.5 crores KCCs are operational in the nature, 7.5 crore KCCs operational in nature, of which about 3 crores are with the PACs, you know. Please remember one more thing. More than 95% are small and marginal farmers. Of these 3 crore KCC holders, 95% of these guys are the small farmers, the marginal farmers, you know. There is a view that if I digitalize the operations of these institutions, they become more transparent, they become more trusty, my efficiency goes up. That is very important. Because there is a contradictory view that manual functioning of these institutions has led to the trust deficit and has reduced my efficiency. Now, if I have to overcome these deficiencies, I have to go for computerization of the PACs, and this is where the government has taken initiatives to computerize. The maybe about 60,000 PACs are going to be computerized with the passage of time with common software. Please remember, this is very important to know. Now, these institutions are, they're taking their own initiatives, but what is important is to have a common software, you know. And that is where NABARD is promoting a kind of, you know, more digitalization of the cooperative movement. In case of DCCB, state cooperative banks have already been automated. The support has come from NABARD, and the PACs are going to be also digitalized, maybe computerized with the passage of time, so that they become more trustworthy institutions, they become more efficient institutions, they serve the small and marginal farmers to a larger extent. You know. That is what I have to remember. This is what is important. This is the latest, you know, thing I thought I must share with you. On 29th June 2022, very recently, Cabinet took a decision of what? 63,000 packs have to be computerized at a cost of about 4 lakhs each, you know. 4 lakh rupees are going to be invested for each packs to be computerized, you know. The total cost is okay. That's not because it is only simple multiplication if you do it. 63,000 into 4, you'll get that figure, you know. That's not a very big thing. Only thing is we have to remember that this is going to help much more the small and marginal farmers. Computerization is going to bring a lot of transparency, you know. That is very important for us, you know. So the trust of the people with these institutions, it increases, you know. This is going to, we are going to have a common software for these institutions so that they can also transfer the data if it is required from the PACs to the central cooperative banks and vice versa also. This is what is the additional information just for you, that some of the old records will also be digitalized. Because once you invest 4 lakhs rupees for a PACs, you know, the old data will also be digitalized, will be ultimate mission I told you. Increase the transparency, increase the reliability, increase the efficiency, and these are multi-purpose cooperative institutions. I said they provide seed, they provide fertilizer, they provide pesticide, they provide me credit, they provide even facility for marketing my produce. And these are the kind of, you know, small guys in the village, that is the small farmers, the marginal farmers. Now there is a view that these, once we do the computerization, the DBT, the direct benefit transfers, will become much more common. They will also ensure a crop insurance, the seed fertilizer distribution will become more easy, will become more efficient, more transparent. All these things are going to come the moment we go for computerization of the PACs. This is what is a separate university is coming up, you know, for the cooperative sector. Maybe another 3 lakh cooperatives are expecting in 3 years to come. Yeah, 5 years to come, sorry. About in 5 years, we'll have 3 more lakh, you know, in the, let us see how this is what is planned by the ministry. This is what is a kind of, you know, perspective I'm putting it in. Thank you very much.